Amen. Thank you, George. The text this morning is going to be Philippians 4, 4 through 9, and I'll be reading that in a moment. But let me introduce the reading of this particular text and this sermon, thematic in nature today, focusing on Thanksgiving. Let me introduce it this way. In December of 1914, Thomas Edison's great laboratories in West Orange, New Jersey, were almost entirely destroyed by fire. In one night, Edison lost $2 million in equipment. In today's dollars, that would be $59 million. And most of his life's work, upon which no value could possibly be placed. Edison's son, Charles, ran frantically about trying to locate his father, and finally found him standing near the fire, his face aglow, his white, snowy hair blown by the winter winds. And Charles said, "My heart went out to my dad. He was no longer young. Everything he had been doing was being destroyed before his very eyes. And then he spotted me, and he said to me, 'Where's your mother? Find her. Bring her here. She has never seen anything like this, and she's never going to see anything like it again as long as she lives.'" The next morning, walking around the charred embers of so much of his life's work, Thomas Edison mused, "There's great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start all over again." What a perspective on life. For many of us, most of us, to be thankful in the midst of such a tragedy would be nigh unto impossible. We know for sure that such a response is unnatural, but for Edison, thankfulness was how he gained victory over the greatest disaster in his life. The Bible speaks pointedly and strongly to Christians about the importance of a grateful spirit. In fact, the word thanks and its various cognates appears more than 150 times in the Old and New Testaments, and the command, "give thanks," appears 33 times in the Bible. Gratitude is one evidence that God is at work in our lives by His Word and Spirit. Gratitude, especially in the disappointments and frustrations of life, is evidence that God is at work in our lives. Far too many reasons present themselves on a daily basis for us to be ungrateful, and that's the natural default mode spot response, is it not? But when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that is, controlling our lives, one way we show it is by giving thanks to God. And so that's the theme of today's message. I'm going to be reading Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, but I'm not going to be preaching from that text exclusively. Rather, I'll be looking at other passages in the New Testament that speak to the importance of giving thanks to God, either by command or example, or that explain to us how gratitude can become an attitude. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Pray with me. Father, by your Spirit, tattoo these words to my heart. and bring forth their fruits, the fruit of gratitude, the fruit of thankfulness in all of life. The good, the bad, the ugly, the sweet, that which seems so pleasant in all of life. You can do it. We can learn the secret of that by your word, from your word, and by your spirit. So teach us, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to point out, and I'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, is this, that when you are controlled by the Spirit of God, thanksgiving will be one of the results. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, and he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." How can you tell whether or not you're filled with the Spirit of God? Paul says you'll be giving thanks. You'll be making melody. You'll be submitting to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why, you'll even be singing, even if you cannot carry a tune in a bucket, even if your voice is sort of out of kilter when it comes to singing. And you'll be having a submissive attitude toward others. You won't be demanding your own way. Spirit-filled Christians are not necessarily those who speak in tongues or who possess miracle-working powers. Spirit-filled believers are necessarily those who are giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Writing centuries ago now, William Law made a good point when he said this. He said, "Would you like to know who is the greatest saint in the world? It isn't he who prays the most or fasts the most. It isn't he who gives the most, but it is he who always is thankful to God, who receives everything as an instrument of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for his benefits. The greatest saint is the one who is always thankful." And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, in effect, in Ephesians 5. He says, when you're controlled by God the Holy Spirit, thanksgiving will be one of the inevitable and expressed results. You will have a grateful spirit. Writing similarly in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Paul is saying, those whose minds and hearts are filled up with the word of God are thankful people. Again, how can you tell whether you are filled with the Spirit of God? When your mind and your heart are filled with Scripture, when you find yourself thinking about all that God in Christ Jesus has done for you, all of the incomparable, immeasurable, inexpressible, really, gifts that he's given you in his Son, including forgiveness of sins, the imputed righteousness of his Son Jesus, full acceptance as his children. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So many things. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. And then in Colossians 3:15, Paul admonishes and he says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Shortly before he was led away to be crucified, Jesus made a staggering promise to his disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, the peace that Jesus gives to to those who trust in Him. That peace takes away our anxieties and our fears. I love the words of an old hymn. It's in our hymnal. I apologize to you for not having us sing it, probably ever. We're going to rectify that in the new year for sure. The words were penned by Edward Henry Bickersteth. That's a good English name, if there ever was one. Edward Henry Bickersteth. In each stanza of the hymn, he asks a question, and then he gives the answer to that question, in all the stanzas except the last one. He asks, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin? The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace by thronging duties pressed? To do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne. It is enough. Earth's struggle soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace. I read those words and I say, thanks be to God. You see, when the peace of Christ is worked into our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit, we are thankful. The peace that Jesus gives us, first with God, and then within our souls, and then hopefully relationally with those in our family and those in our church, even if not in our family, that produces a grateful spirit. The Holy Spirit plus the Word plus the peace of Christ inevitably produces an all-pervasive sense of gratitude. Have you ever contemplated what your life would be like had not God in His sweet mercy plucked you like a brand from the fire and caused you to be born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Where would you be? What would you be doing? What would your family be like? Every good thing that we as believers have is due to the fact that God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, and then brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thanks be to God. You see, thanksgiving inevitably flows out of the hearts of those believers in whom God's Spirit dwells, God's Word dwells richly, and the peace of Christ likewise dwells. Last Lord's Day, we considered some of the closing admonitions and exhortations given by Peter in the last chapter of his first letter. One of them was this: casting all your anxieties on God because He cares for you. That's bottom line. Why bother casting cares and concerns on God? Because He cares for you. Well, speaking in much the same vein, the Apostle Paul says to the church at Philippi, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving is not just one of many forms of prayer. Thanksgiving, I think, is an attitude or a spirit by which, in which, we make every petition to God, make known to Him every supplication, every plea, every cry is to be wrapped up with thanksgiving. You see, whenever you ask God the Father for something, it should be with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is always to be given, even in advance, because by faith we know our Heavenly Father cares and loves us. And we know that in His infinite wisdom, He knows what is absolutely best for us and will not give us anything that does not accord with His will or is for our good. Thanks be to God. You know, even when you're caught up in questioning the goodness of God, and we do that, all of us do that from time to time, when you're concerned with, when you're questioning the plan of God for your life, what should your underlying attitude be? Well, for sure, humility, submission. God is your creator and you're the creature. You live, you move, you have your being in Him. You owe everything to Him. But then you should be characterized also by this pervasive sense of gratitude or thanksgiving. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 5, he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Huh. You know, there are many times in life when we don't know what the will of God is. We can't figure it out. We feel like we've been left out in the cold and the dark. And we long to be on the inside, warming ourselves by the fires of light and understanding and warmth. But I tell you, you can know the will of God for your life in each and every circumstance. What is it? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Writing in Romans chapter 1, in effect, the Apostle Paul says, let me tell you what happens to a culture that rejects God, that refuses to acknowledge God or give thanks to Him. Beginning in verse 21 of Romans 1, he says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." A civilization that is coming unglued is a civilization that will not acknowledge God nor give thanks to Him. A civilization that is coming apart at the seams is a civilization in which the Creator has been removed from His throne and the creature has ascended to that place of autonomous authority. Are we seeing that in our day? Where are we as a culture when it comes to a spirit of gratitude? Is it not almost an anomaly when you hear someone say, "Thank you"? Today, you see, people expect things. We live in an entitlement culture. But such a spirit, I think, leads to cultural declension. Paul said as much to his spiritual son Timothy in the second letter. He said, "But understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power." And then he says, "Avoid such people." You see, ingratitude travels in some bad company, doesn't it? And then the Apostle Paul has been called by quite a number of commentators the grateful apostle. The grateful apostle, and he was. He writes about being grateful or giving thanks in virtually every letter. In fact, the letters he penned and sent to the churches at Philippi and Colossae and Ephesus and the letter to Philemon were written while Paul was incarcerated for following Jesus. Even so, Paul said, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And Paul went through some torturous, terrible things in his service of King Jesus. In fact, he gives us a litany of those things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read it. He said, "I have worked harder than any of them," referring to fellow workers in ministry. "I have served more prison sentences. I've been beaten without number. I have faced death again and again. I've been beaten the regulation 39 stripes by the Jews 5 different times. I have been beaten with rods 3 times." I wonder what Paul's back must have looked like. "I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been 24 hours in the open sea. In my travels, I've been in constant danger from rivers and floods, from bandits, from my own countrymen, and from pagans. I face danger in city streets, danger in the desert, danger on the high seas, danger among false Christians. I've known exhaustion, pain, long vigils, hunger and thirst, doing without meals, cold, and lacking clothing." And yet, this is the very guy who says, "In everything, give thanks." You know, I look at that and I say to myself, in my years of ministry, I've been through some stuff. But my list of stuff is not even remotely close to Paul's litany of sufferings, anguish, pain, self-denial. And Paul said he learned how to do it. He tells us that in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. He said, "I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Well, what was Paul's secret to such contentment? And let me say that I think the word contentment is an apt synonym for gratitude or thankfulness. And that brings us to the text I read earlier, Philippians 4, beginning at verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Let me say that if the God of peace is with you, your heart will overflow with gratitude. If the God of peace is with you, you can be content in any and every circumstance of life in this fallen world. Like Paul, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you yourself can cultivate and develop this attitude of gratitude. Paul tells us how to do it. Philippians 4, verse 8, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." What kind of replacement needs to take place in your mind and heart on a daily basis? How does your focus need to shift away from the situation, the circumstance, the pain, the suffering? All those things that turn you into a grouch. How do those things need to be shifted away, taken away, and replaced with the honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy things? I know that not a day goes by in which we're not confronted with something that causes us to gripe and complain. I've got a PhD in griping and complaining. I've got the diploma on my wall. and my mouth speaks and shows and demonstrates how much I've learned in that school. Now, mind you, we may not verbalize it, but I think the negative easily is lodged in the mind, and complaining about the disappointments and frustrations of life, that's the natural thing. And yet, to respond with a spirit of contentment, without complaining, that's God's doing in our lives by His Word and Spirit. Someone said, when we are filled with the spirit of thanksgiving, we learn how to count our blessings instead of our crosses. We learn how to count our gains instead of our losses. We learn how to count our joys instead of our woes. We learn how to count our friends instead of our foes. We learn how to count our smiles instead of our tears, and our courage instead of our fears, and our full years instead of our lean ones, and our kind deeds instead of our mean ones, and our health instead of our wealth. We count on God instead of ourselves. Good news for you, for me. The strangled hold of ingratitude can be broken. God, by His Word and Spirit, can do the work, and we can ask for grace that leads to repentance unto life, so that our names can be changed from Groucho to Grateful. What is repentance unto life? Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it to God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. I haven't done it, but I'm giving myself an assignment, and I'm giving it to you as well. And that is to memorize Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In other words, let the Word of God dwell richly in your mind and heart. Let the peace of Christ rule your life. Stand in awe before God that you are His child, that you have been brought into His forever family by the work of your elder brother and King and Savior, Jesus Christ, His sinless life, His substitutionary death and subsequent resurrection and ascension, and the sure knowledge and assurance that He one day is coming to take His harvest home. And then for every negative thing in your life, I remind you that there are 10 times as many positives. Right? Find them. Focus on them. And find yourselves saying, thanks be to God. Spend some time.